Good morning. It is the 12th of April, 2024. Eastertide commences and continues, and we're finally going to move on from talking about that new document. At least I hope so, although I'm sure it's not out of the news yet. I wanted to start with some news that broke yesterday, although when you actually read carefully into it, it is sort of in the realm of rumor. So this comes from America Magazine. With this headline, in surprise move, Pope Francis to rehabilitate Benedict XVI's longtime aide by appointing him nuncio. I've already maxed out my free views of American Magazine for the month, so I'm just going to show you the headline. I will quote something from it here, though. It's the story did take people a bit by surprise. Their headline makes it sound like it's an established fact, because the author of the piece, his wife is like an Italian news reporter or something in the Vatican, and her sources said it was the whispering she was hearing sounded legitimate. So take it with a grain of salt until it's confirmed. But that seems to be what's happening here. So it looks like we're going to actually have Archbishop Gonsfein is going to be given a job finally in Rome. We'll see, though. Again, until this officially happens, take it with a grain of salt. But if this happens, this is unequivocally a good thing for him. Justice actually is being done. So here's what they say. Quote, Francis is a pope of surprises, but also mercy. Aw, remember, it's from America Magazine. Both attributes have shaped the pope's complex and difficult relationship with Archbishop Georg Gonsfein, 67, the former private secretary to Pope Benedict XVI. After his predecessor's passing, Francis sent Archbishop Gonsfein back to his home diocese in Germany, an unwelcome move for the former private secretary who wished to receive a new position in Rome. But the Pope has now decided to appoint him as a nuncio, or ambassador, in the Vatican Diplomatic Corps. The unexpected news was first broken this afternoon, Rome time, by Elisabetta Peak, the wife of the person writing this article, in an article in La Nación, the Argentine daily for which she is the correspondent in Italy, and will be soon to be designated as nuncio in some parts of the world. Well, hold on. And the Vatican, sorry. Let's look at what happens when I copy text down. Notwithstanding the tensions between the two, she reported, Pope Francis has decided to clean the slate and give a new start and assignment to the former private secretary to Benedict, the German Archbishop Georg Gonsfein, who will soon be designated as nuncio in some part of the world. Now, she based her report on, quote, indiscreet remarks circulating in the Vatican that she found to be credible. Let's pause. This is why I would say take this with a grain of salt, okay? Because American Magazine is reporting this, as is La Nación, the Argentinian newspaper for which this author's wife works for. They're reporting it as fact, but it's based on whispers in Rome, but it seems credible. She recalled that Archbishop Gonsfein came to Rome to celebrate Mass in St. Peter's Basilica on December 31st, the first anniversary of the passing of Benedict XVI, who was received in an audience by Pope Francis. It appears that on the occasion, the German Archbishop expressed his unease at being without any role or assignment in his home diocese or in the church and conveyed his desire to be given one. Then, in what some in the Vatican interpret as a form of pardon, she said, Francis decided to assign him to a nunciature in an as-yet-unnamed country, end quote. So, good news if this materializes, as long as he's not being sent to some really dangerous place or some place where the nuncio has nothing to do. Unless it's one of those kind of promotions, this is a good thing, and thank God for it. Dina, what's worse, reading America or that other one? The other one. The other one is worse. The writing on that was a little weird. But, yeah, so that is unequivocally not a bad thing. If it actually turns out to be more than just a rumor. Do you want to give a bit of an update on the give, send, go thing? Again, I mentioned on Easter, personal news. Wife is expecting child number 4. Just had a checkup yesterday. All is good. But it's coming with a curveball complications rather that often come when you're fourth child comes. So a viewer decided to do a give, send, go. I do have access to it, so don't worry, it's on the up and up. For those who are interested, it will be in the comments below. I guess I'll put one in the live chat as well, just because I forgot to do that last time. So there it is, and I'll put it in the comments after the live stream itself is over. And now we will go on to our main news of the day. You get this interesting story here from Info Vaticana. I'm using a translation extension here for the headline. I did actually open it in the letter elsewhere and ran it through the DeepL translator to get a more accurate translation. So we won't be reading it from here, but this from Info Vaticana, which is out of Spain, I believe. Harsh letter from priests of Rome against their bishop. We are witnessing the destruction of the church in Rome. These are diocesan priests in the Diocese of Rome. I have in the past sometimes slip up and say the Archdiocese of Rome, because in my mind it should be an archdiocese. When you think of the city of Rome, you don't think of a smaller place with fewer Catholics in it. You don't think of Iowa or even like Tulsa. In Oklahoma, Tulsa is a diocese, part of a diocese. And Oklahoma City is part of an archdiocese. You don't tend to think of the smaller population center for Rome in terms of number of Catholics, but I guess that's where we're at in the church. In my head, it should be an archdiocese. That's why I keep slipping up. And I'm sure there's other reasons why it's not an archdiocese, you know. But let's go here to my own translation of this for a clearer reading of this letter so you can all follow along as you will. And I think I can zoom in a little bit better for all of you trying to follow along at home. So this is a letter from diocesan priests to the general public that Francis is about what Francis is doing to the church. It is not a long letter at all. I mean, it's very short. Okay, so this live stream might be a little shorter. I do have a couple other news items to talk about here. But this is the letter from the diocesan priests of the Diocese of Rome that Francis is about what Francis is doing, the effect he's having on the church in the eyes of priests who are supposed to be the most loyal, that are supposed to be loyal to him absolutely, since he is their bishop. Francis, go and repair my house, which is in ruins. Thus, the crucifix of San Damiano to the little brother of Assisi in 1205. Later, Pope Innocent III dreams of St. Francis raising St. John Lateran. Francis sees and destroys the church. This instead happens in 2024, and instead of a dream that revives the church for Roman Catholicism, it has become a real nightmare. We begin our brief letter with these two examples. On the one hand, St. Francis, who repairs, sustains, builds. On the other, Francis, deliberately with a lowercase, who destroys, demolishes, devastates, as not even Attila managed to do. Thanks also to the material executor imported from Sicily. It's a choice evocative, and a small subject who has assumed the role of the giant of the law. But we know the executors do not have to be intelligent, but obedient. Now, he's talking, I'll pause here. They're talking about a bishop who was dismissed from Rome, the vicar of Rome, who is essentially typically a cardinal who governs the Diocese of Rome on behalf of Francis, or any pope, really. But he got rid of him because they were butting heads over something, and they brought in somebody new. And so this is what they're talking about here, this sort of vague stuff about, you know, bad new people coming in. That's what they're talking about. Anyway, we'll continue. We had hoped that after all the scandals that have arisen with contracts made to friends of friends, with rents to more than wealthy people, with sales at least hilarious, with tens of thousands of euros thrown away on furniture, with millionaire credits granted to very suspicious people. They're talking here about all the excessive financial problems and all the nasty headlines going on involving money to personal friends of Francis. Pursued by the same friends to recover the money given to ghost banks, with much vaunted personalities who have also suffered the slap in the face of the Italian institutions, not to say of the United Nations itself, and all this in defiance of the poor, the real poor, those in whom we should recognize the face of Christ, the Bishop of Rome, Francis, had decided to give the poor, the true poor, to those in whom we should recognize the face of Christ, the face of Christ, not to say of Italian institutions, but little translation error here. The Bishop of Rome had decided to make a serious change by sending home the people who allowed this to happen, which is clearly astonished by documents that, let us remember, have not been denied by anyone. In other words, what they're saying in this letter, that's even with a good translation, things have gotten a little choppy, they're saying that they kicked out a good bishop who was defending their interests, was not a complete Bergoglian. And then they brought in, they sent home some people who were financial mismanagement, doing evil things with the church's treasures. And instead of like actually punishing them for these things, they just sent them home. They got away with it, basically, with a slap on the wrist. And there have been leaks from Rome verifying all of this, and they've never been denied. And now they're bringing in new people who are essentially Francis's toadies. And instead, our bishop not only kept them there, but also rewarded them. So we ask ourselves why. A question that will never be answered as long as we witness helplessly the destruction of the church in Rome. We express our solidarity with our prefects, who have told the material executor loud and clear that they'll no longer meet or speak with the bishops, the Sicilian, the new bishop, until a new vicar has been appointed and until certain individuals are put in a position where they can do no more harm. Signed, clergy and people of God of the Church of Rome. So you've got a temporary bishop has been placed in there. They want a new vicar and somebody who will stand up for them. And Francis has been putting his friends in there as usual. That's what's going on with them. The priests there are saying, essentially, you're getting more grift going on in Rome at the church's expense, with the full knowledge and support of Francis. That's what they're saying. WM says, priests can't write in plain speak. It is literally impossible for them to do. You need a PhD to even understand the people in Rome. Right. That letter was translated as best as it could be with a translating service. It's still not perfect. WM said, in terms of my archdiocese statement, it used to be an archdiocese in 1874 before the Vatican got nerfed. Ah, yes, before the establishment of the Italian state and everything that went on with it. So the priests there aren't very happy about all this, and they shouldn't be. But I want to shift here to something else that happened in the news here. You may have seen this. A lot of people don't really know what to make of this story, so let's go with the Catholic Conclave reporting on this. Sources indicate Pope may have restored papal title, Patriarch of the West. This is a term. So Benedict XVI got rid of the term Patriarch of the West as a part of the title of the Pope. The Pope has always had that title. Benedict got rid of it for whatever reason. And now Francis is bringing it back. There have also been in the background some whispers that Francis desperately wants to get what he's going to call an ecumenical synod going, essentially with the Eastern Orthodox. It'd be the first time anything like this has happened since, the 10th century or something. And this is a gesture in that direction. This kind of whispers about that. I don't know how true it is or not, but don't be surprised. So here we go. According to our information, Pope Francis reinstates the title of Patriarch of the West, Old Rome, in the annual Vatican diptychs, Pontifico Annuario del Vaticano 2024, which will be released next Tuesday. That's, this coming just in a couple days. The title, which was removed by Pope Benedict XVI after pressure from the conservative circles of the Vatican and at the urging of theologian Andreone Garuti from the Dicastery for the Doctrine of the Faith, an act which extreme conservatives imposed on Pope Benedict XVI. And then they then give their a little bit of their correction here, because they're just copying this. The site often copies from like obscure news sites. They say that this is half right. Garuti authored for the conservative press Ignatius Press, The Primacy of the Bishop of Rome and Ecumenical Dialogue, which contains the germs of the idea of the title of the Patriarch as a barrier to ecumenism. So the papacy should not use ideas of power, but should persuade and collegiality. The title of Patriarch are at odds. So Francis is doing this in the name of ecumenical dialogue, but it looks like there might not actually be any ecumenical dialogue in all of this to begin with. Okay. That this actually, according to some, depends who you ask, could actually undermine ecumenical dialogue. And Vigano, as you might expect, has something to say about this. Well, this is published on Marco Tozzotti's site. It actually comes from his Twitter account of all places. Yes, Archbishop Vigano is on Twitter, and he is very, 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 very much active there. He says, the decision to reinstate the title of Patriarch of the West, canceled by Benedict XVI, should not mislead anyone. It is a move, not even too disguised, by which Bergoglio sets himself up as an interlocutor on a par with the Patriarch of the East, no less subservient than he to the interest of the stonecutter rulers who are so eager to establish their Novus Ordo Seclorum and the religion of humanity. In this way, after downsizing the papacy in a synodal key, that is parliamentarizing the government of the church, which is monarchical institution by the will of Christ himself, and after the renunciation of the title Vicar of Christ, Bergoglio can proceed expeditiously toward the ecumenical project that constitutes the heretical matrix of Vatican II and his entire nefarious quote pontificate. It is not surprising that the subversive operation is conducted by the very people who usurp the power of the Roman pontiff in order to destroy the papacy and the Catholic Church. So Vigano's critique is that this is all just part of Francis's leveling the papacy down further and bringing all this in line with the whims and will of the secular authorities, that is what this is truly, truly about. He might be right. We shall see. This is going to be announced formally in just a couple of days, so don't be surprised when this happens. Dean says, I'd be more impressed if he accepted the title Vicar of Christ and actually lived it, but that ain't going to happen. Yeah. WM says, Vigano always got something to say. Yeah, sort of. He actually hasn't written a letter in almost 2 weeks, which is, that's a long time for him. there's some other stuff involving the news that I find incredibly uninteresting, so that he might just have his hands full right now. But there's a lot going on right now behind the scenes, and it's one of the reasons why I wanted to move on from the new papal document. But yes, so just to review for people, Gonswein's got a post, looks like, potentially. Take it with a grain of salt. It's in the rumor stage. Priests in Rome are very upset. What they're seeing is essentially financial corruption, being people getting away with it, and then handpicked toadies of Francis coming in to govern the Diocese of Rome on Francis's behalf, and without actually giving them an actual vicar who will actually stand up for their rights. They're upset about that. And meanwhile, Francis is restored. It looks like a classic title of the Roman pontiff. It's a weird day in news. It really, really is. I'm going to see if there's any final comments in here before we wrap this up. Sonny Jim says, that kind of corruption is a constant state of affairs in Rome. That's nothing new. Going back to antiquity, that's nothing new. WM says he wants to be the patriarch of Appalachia. Well, maybe after the chastisement unfolds. Let's see. Alexis says the warnings coming from the little religious community from Texas are being proven with Francis's motions. A lot of people dispute the validity of those. I don't know. We'll find out. Anthony Abbott says, anyone that saw Francis take that title had to have the same instinct as Vigano. He took it to a new level with all this other stuff, but it's pretty clear why he did it. Yeah, this is all about synodality, and this is all about appeasing the secular authority, especially when you really consider like the geopolitics of everything going on right now. Right? You've got that conflict that you can't talk about on this platform, and that in Eastern Europe, going really badly for the side that our rulers really favor. And to the point where the head of state of that country is now reaching out to the once and possibly future president to come visit him. And the once and future president had to say no, because he has no official capacity at this time to do it. That's going on. And you've got what looks like more schisms happening within the Eastern Orthodox. Things are getting weird out there, folks. It really is. And so that's part of the context for Francis's reestablishment of the title Patriarch of the West. But it also does have this leveling effect, right? Again, we've seen this in like the synodal documents, a lot of the things that we find out are being talked about. The synod on synodality is like ramping up this concept of collegiality, where the bishops as a body are held on the same level as by themselves as the Pope individually, almost like this weird level magisterially, which is not exactly a Catholic view of things. There's talk at the Synod of bringing down the power of the papacy somewhat and raising up the bishops even further. Yet in this Patriarch of the West stuff, and we begin to see that this is sort of like Anglicanism meets the Orthodox. So that's what you see here with the Synod on Synodality. Philip reminds us, hit the like button. Yeah, please do so. If you're watching this, hit the like button. Oh, let's see. All right, folks. Oh, Marine says, he says this to Anthony Abbott. Francis acts like he is embarrassed to be Catholic half the time. Oh, you said it, not me. All right. Thanks very much for tuning in, folks. As always, once again, pray for the church. I'm Anthony Stein. Ave Maria.